Nation.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Who's better at this job of radio?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Jeff Lutz.
Really good to great, you know, depending on the day.
Wow! Hey! Isn't that exciting?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's showtime, baby! You'll go wacko, bananas, nuts, crazy, unbelievable!
Hello again, everybody. Welcome a Thursday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power is our producer and our engineer. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. I'm watching a baseball game. It's on the television here in my basement studio. Paying some attention. My team, Cardinals, not going anywhere, but I love the game of baseball. Enjoy watching it. Jeff's keeping track of his team. He's in a sour mood, and that's the way it is here.
You said I'm in a sour mood.
Well, you just muttered under your breath 5 minutes ago when Giancarlo Stanton homered, and it's tough being a baseball fan.
I never fathomed that a team 20 games over 500 could be this sickening.
You're playing poorly at the wrong time of the year.
They haven't played well in 2 months.
Well, but you're playing poorly now at the wrong time of the year. And that happens. And what I told you yesterday holds true. The teams that are destined to win play well in the final 6 to 8 weeks of the year. It's just the way it works.
You know who I'm not impressed with at all?
Me.
Steven Vogt.
Well, there you go. Now you've taken a shot at a manager who's come in, by all accounts, overachieved.
No,
with a
he
roster
hasn't.
That
he has
is,
no feel. He's got no feel for trends. He's got no feel for what a team needs. He's got doesn't seem to have any feel for coaching and developing.
You loved him a month ago.
No, well, I don't anymore. No feel. And it takes a while to.
My team's two games under. They've played pretty poorly for the last month. Yet here I am with some level of. I just told you, you know, watching Victor Scott play excites me. He's hitting about 140, but he excites me because I think it's there. I like to, as you know, kind of stake my reputation on things. I believe in that kid. I think he's going to be a very good Major League Baseball player. And those are the things I hold on to as my team has pretty much crumbled.
Well, you hope he's going to be a good
hope,
Major
right.
League.
Right. But I also think
okay,
he's going to be.
Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But we all get caught up in young players and prospects. And
not all of them.
We all hope.
Not all of them. He has certain attributes that make him stand out, and you saw one of them just a minute ago where he hit a ball into left center field. Maybe one out of every 100 players could turn that into a double. He's one of those who can with his speed. That excites me. I'm not going to be the pessimist, even though we just fly it out with the bases loaded, which we do. We never get a hit.
Don't be a pessimist.
Other than last night when Arenado hit a grand slam.
I don't want to talk about baseball.
We never get a hit with anybody on.
Let's talk Royals and Chiefs.
And I don't want to talk Royals
that's what
and
people
Chiefs.
Come
people don't come to our show to hear Royals
station.
And Chiefs. I don't want to talk
Let's
Royals
get folks
and Chiefs.
Ready. Let's get folks ready.
Now, we will talk Royals going down the stretch here because they're in contention. They won a game last night. Johnny Cueto pitched for the Angels. That's how dire their circumstances are.
Didn't pitch horribly
are.
Either.
No, but if you're
he didn't pitch well,
if you're rolling Johnny Cueto out, you've got more problems. And then they just extended their general manager. Did
makes
the Angels.
No sense.
Tell me what's going on there.
I can't.
You couldn't be a worse franchise. Bringing back Ron Washington. We all love Ron Washington. Shouldn't be managing a baseball team. In 2024, that's ridiculous.
Well, he should if he was going to manage, he should be managing a good team.
I don't even know. Listen, he had his time. He's an excellent instructor, but managing is completely different.
Well, I understand. I'm just saying if he was going to manage, it should be for a team that doesn't really need managing.
Now, they did, obviously, lose Shohei. Mike Trout again injured. And I'm starting to think that Mike Trout is never going to play a full season again in the Major League Baseball. I mean, don't we have enough evidence?
Well, I don't think he will. And it's unfortunate and it's sad because he was a generational talent, putting up unbelievable numbers early in his career. And that's kind of gone by the wayside. He'll end up with great numbers, but it won't be generational numbers. It won't be otherworldly numbers. We'll recognize his talent as one of the game's greats to ever play, but we won't recognize the numbers that way.
There'll always be a sadness associated with Mike Trout, which is too bad. You don't like to have that with players. There's even a sadness associated to some degree with a player like Mickey Mantle, because you feel like, as great as Mantle was, and check the numbers, you feel like he left a lot on the table.
Could have. It's hard to
which
say.
Which is sad.
It's hard to say.
Well, I think through his injuries and his lifestyle, even Mickey Mantle acknowledged it late in his
probably,
life.
Probably, yeah, he did.
That he, you know, regretted some of his antics. But still, the numbers are overwhelming for Mickey Mantle. For Mike Trout, I'm not sure. They are great. He's certainly one of the great players of his era. Is it enough, in your opinion, to get him into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, that's not even a question. He's first ballot.
Well, wait a doggone minute.
That's not even a debate.
Wait a minute.
It's not a debate.
Well, why am I having a debate then?
I'm not sure, to be completely honest.
Let's see here.
Zero question about that.
He's not driven in 1,000 runs yet. He will. I think he'll still play. He's only at 980. He has 378 home runs. That's certainly...
He spent a lot of time in the leadoff spot.
I'm sorry, he's at 954 RBIs. 1,600 hits. OPS of 991, which is superb. So I would probably... It's a three-time MVP. I would agree with you.
Right.
But the numbers could be so much
they
better. They could be right up there.
That's what I said.
He's played since 2017. Now, he was an Ironman from 2013 to 2016, played in at least 157 games every year. In 2017, 114. In 2018, 140. Drove in 122 runs that year. Had his highest ever OPS of 1.088 and an OPS plus of 198. So that was his best year. Then 134 games, and then we had the COVID year of 2020. He only played in 36 games in 2021, 119 in 2022, and then 82 and 29 the past 2 years.
Trending the wrong direction for old Mike. But
and these are his prime years. He's 32. He's missing his prime years.
Well, I think he probably wouldn't have the numbers that he put up without the way that he played, which was all out. And he's a big guy, and it's probably going to be injured at some point anyway.
You know how many playoff series he's been in?
One.
You know who it was against?
The Royals.
You know who saw it?
I was there.
You were there?
No. But I watched it. Does
well,
that count?
I was there.
It's unfortunate. He shouldn't have...
I don't like people who do what I just did. My apologies.
What did you do?
I was there. Like, so what?
I don't like people who tie their... themselves to a terrible franchise for their entire careers, and then neither of those sides gets the most out of the relationship.
Well, I feel terrible for Mike Trout, although he made millions upon millions of dollars.
Yeah, I'm sure he's I'm sure he feels happy with his life overall, but maybe not as happy with his career overall.
Here's another one. Joey Votto announces his retirement yesterday.
Sales in.
He'd been with the Blue Jays. I don't think he'd played very much, but he had played some in their AAA team. He retires. Hall of Famer.
Sales in. First ballot. No question.
First ballot?
No question.
Well, I don't know, man.
No question.
920 career OPS, 1,144 RBIs, 356 homers, 2,135 hits. Yeah, I don't know about sailing in.
He's sailing in.
I don't know.
He'll get 85 to 90% of the vote on his first ballot, and he'll sail in.
The CC Sabathia sail in?
I sure hope so.
I told him at our function a few weeks ago that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You think he appreciated that, or you think he felt like, what's this clown
He probably felt like you were pandering a little bit, but that's okay.
Well, I don't care, but I think he, so what?
I told him, here's
you
what.
You didn't get a chance to talk to him.
Of course I did.
Here's what you said. Mr. Sabathia. What'd you say to him?
Well, he had been in Cleveland the previous few days because he was getting inducted into the Cleveland baseball team Hall of Fame. And what?
Go ahead.
And he had said something like, I want to apologize to the fans for game 6 of the 2007 ALCS. I didn't get the job done. And I said, hey, you didn't need to apologize for that. And he said, I appreciate it.
And then he sprinted away.
Why? Why can't I just have a... Why? Why would he sprint away?
That probably got a little uncomfortable.
Why?
I don't know.
Explain that. I mean, what would make him uncomfortable about that?
Some guy talking about 2000 whatever. I don't know.
He talked about it.
Yeah, but he talked about it, but you brought it up.
So what's wrong with that?
I don't know. I'm just glad I wasn't there.
Me too. You would have ruined it.
Well, I don't know if I would have or not.
No, you would have. You're ruining this kind of too. So there's a lot of things going on.
Well, congratulations on having a moment with CC Sabathia, who was here for the unveiling of the Jackie Robinson statue.
I've never asked you this question. Joe Torre was slated to attend. Was it?
I wasn't told why. I just was told that he was never officially slated to attend. He was a possibility to attend.
All right.
So any news outlet that got out there and said Joe Torre.
Well, I think you said Joe Torre.
No, I didn't say it. No, I never said it. I'm not even sure I said it was a possibility. I may have told you privately because at one point his name was mentioned. But so were a couple of others that ultimately didn't arrive. But we were happy. We had CC Sabathia, Jeremy Guthrie, and Dellin Betances. And had Dellin Betances remained healthy for his career, his numbers are ridiculous. Have you ever looked at his numbers?
Dellin Betances? Yeah, he was quite good.
Well, no wonder. He's 6'9", 500. Throws 400 miles an hour.
Big guy.
Here's what we have for you today on the show. What are you engaged in?
I'm trying to
engage with me.
I'm trying to find where you said Joe Torre.
See, that's all you live for. That's all you live for.
What are you talking about?
You like to show people that they're wrong.
No, I don't.
You like to engage in, like you did today on Facebook. You like to engage and try to get the upper hand. It's just not a becoming thing. At 2:25, John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant will talk KU football. KU football preview with John Kirby. At 2:45, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, K-State football preview. So if you are a Jayhawk or a Cat, you'll want to listen here as we come up on those interviews talking KU and K-State football. And then at 3:25, Scott Russell will join the show. He's another who is headed to the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. He's out of Canada, but a collegiate track and field standout in the javelin and the hammer throw at Kansas, and one of the greats. He'll be, as I said, headed to the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. 869-1240 is the phone number. The Royals have an off day. Then they start a really brutal stretch of their schedule. And how will they hold up?
You're asking me?
I am.
I don't know. I assume they want to play around 500 and keep pace with what everybody else in the division is doing. No one, despite many opportunities for all the teams because of the way Cleveland has played, which is, like you said, poorly, no one has been able to catch them for whatever reason so far. But they've had chances, and maybe over the last 8 weeks of the year, however long it is, not that long.
I believe the Twins Six and weeks. Royals are both off today. Am I right about that?
I believe
the Twins,
so.
Twins did salvage a game on the West Coast against San Diego yesterday. They are 2.5 out. The Royals, the same, identical, 71-56 records. If the score holds up today in Cleveland with the Yankees, that is in Cleveland, is it not?
No.
It's in New York. Cleveland's lead in the American League Central will be 2 games over both the Twins and the Royals. Interesting.
That's how it works.
Now, I'm not going to hold back just because I know you're a Guardians fan. I'm not going to.
Well, I don't need whatever you're about to say.
Well, I'm not. What do you mean you don't need what I'm about?
Whatever you're about to say, I just don't need it.
Well, I don't care what you need. I'm here to talk about what needs to be talked about. Royals begin a series at home Friday against the Phillies, which will be interesting. 4 at Cleveland, followed by 4 at Houston. Those are the games. Those 8 games are going to be difficult. Now, I don't know if Cleveland can get it going enough to make those games difficult, but they better. Then the Royals come home for 3 against Cleveland and 3 against Minnesota before going on the road to play the Yankees, and then a series on the road against Pittsburgh. So those games all happen between tomorrow and September 15th. That's going to be very telling.
Extremely. And it's, I don't know what to say. We'll find out how they play when they play. It's impossible to predict. Maybe they'll keep their heater going against all these really, really good teams. Maybe they'll be average. Maybe they'll fall out of the race. It's hard to say.
This is what you live for as a baseball fan. This is what you want to have happen. Royals haven't had much of this over the last
10 years
in their existence. They had a great run in the 70s. They had some success in the 80s. But really, outside of 2014, 2015, that's been about it. And here they are, potentially 2 games out of first place after today.
No, not potentially. The Guardians aren't going to come back.
With the arguably the second best player in the game, Aaron Judge can't be matched. What, he hit another one today?
Yeah, one of those cheap ones. But if I was Aaron Judge, I'd do the same thing. Just hit the ball to right field. I know I'm strong enough to where it's going to fly out of there. So good for Aaron Judge. If the Guardians could have figured out how to do that, that'd be great. But they're swinging 3-0 at bad pitches and taking horrible at-bats.
Well, Aaron Judge now has 48 home runs.
I'm aware.
118 RBIs. And we have 6 weeks left in the season. It's ridiculous. I don't care where you play. You play in my backyard where the dimensions are not very long, and you do that, my goodness. And Mitchell for the Brewers just robbed Lars Nootbaar of a home run, and that's my world.
What are you going to do?
My frustration with baseball is at least much higher than yours.
Well, you don't need to take it out on me.
Was 20 games over.
No, you wouldn't. If they were playing like garbage,
I'd be
and uninspired and
I'd be dancing in the street. Look at that catch. My goodness. The Brewers are so good defensively. You can't hit a ball to get by them.
That's part of what makes a really good team. It's not just hitting and pitching. You got to run the bases. You got to play defense. Do the little things well.
All right. We're ready to preview some football. We've been doing it for the past week and a half or so. And we're going to hit home today. Tim Fitzgerald at 2:45 talking about Kansas State. But up next is John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. We'll get his thoughts on Kansas. The Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
John Kirby joins us from Jayhawk Slant. He's knee-deep into KU football, and we're excited for the college football season that's just around the corner. We've been talking Big 12 football on this show for a couple of weeks. This conference, and first of all, welcome, John. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bob. How you doing?
We're doing well, and I think the story going into this season is just how up for grabs the Big 12 appears to be. We're not talking one, two, or three challengers. It feels like there's multiple teams that go into the season thinking they got a shot.
Yeah, you know, we do a podcast, and I had Phil Steele on. I always like Phil. I think he's pretty knowledgeable. He said he's got nine teams that he thinks could come out of the Big 12 somehow, some way, among the top two. I mean, I thought that was a little much, but you're right. I think that goes to show you that, you know, this thing's wide open, and there's going to be some key games where it comes down middle into the season that's probably going to factor in how it all plays out.
So last year, obviously, it was Jason Bean as the backup to Jalen Daniels. He played a lot, and he played really well. He's no longer there, of course. So how big is the drop-off, do you think, between Jason Bean and Cole Ballard or whoever will end up kind of being that backup long-term? But also, how much better is the overall roster that maybe that won't make as big of a difference if Jalen can't play the whole season?
Well, the overall roster is really good. I mean, now they are senior heavy. Okay. Now after this season, we're going to have to talk about kind of a little bit of an overhaul of what they're going to have to do. Cause I mean, they've got a lot of experience, a lot of snaps, a lot of upperclassmen who are back. So, you know, when you guys talk about Jason Bean, man, what a luxury they've had with him. And I've said all summer long, this season comes down to one thing, and that's the health of Jalen Daniels. And, guys, the thing is, Kansas fans have got to hope that at this point they're not talking about the backup quarterback this season, all right? I mean, Jalen Daniels has got to stay healthy because there is no Jason Bean to fall back on. I mean, you know, when he came to Kansas, he had some D1 experience at North Texas, and he had a skill set. You know, he was a 10-4-5, 10-5 guy in the 100 in high school. He had a skill set that fit into what they did. So when Jalen Daniels went out, Jason Bean kind of came in, and they didn't change the offense a lot for him. There were very few teams in the country that had that luxury of having someone like Bean. Now, if Jalen Daniels gets hurt, this year's different, because there is no Bean, and I don't know that Ballard and Marshall can step up and play like Bean did. Listen, when they played K-State last year, they had a great game plan. They had K-State on their heels all game long, okay? They ran option. They had Cole Ballard. They had him out in some QB draws, but they couldn't do really what they wanted to do. They kind of protected Cole Ballard in the scheme they had that game against Kansas State. He was a game manager. You know, he had a couple bad plays. So I've heard the battle between Cole Ballard and Isaiah Marshall for that backup spot is pretty tight. I hear the edge right now is with Cole Ballard just because he's got a year of experience in their system.
Talking to KU football with John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. Jayhawks open the season next Thursday against Lindenwood. I got them winning that game. How important is that second game at Illinois? Now, Illinois is not a preseason ranked team. We're not really sure what Illinois is going to do, but how important is it for Kansas to go to Champaign and play really well in that game and kind of establish something Am I barking up a wrong tree? It just feels to me like that game's pretty consequential.
No, you're not barking up the wrong tree. I mean, I have been saying this all summer, okay? And there's some pretty heavy confidence on the Kansas fan base that, hey, KU's just going to walk into Illinois and beat them without breaking much of a sweat. That really is the feel, because I've even gone on our message board at times and said, guys, I think this is a game you got to be really careful on, okay? Kansas took it to them, built a big lead, just kind of coasted to a pretty easy victory last year. Okay, now you're turning around. You're going on a revenge game. You're on the road. You're playing a Big Ten opponent at their place in the evening. I'm just telling you, I think that game's going to be a challenge. And maybe I'm wrong, but this just isn't a cakewalk. And I've gotten a sense from people that they look what happened last year. And, I mean, KU blew them out of the water and then just kind of let off the gas a little bit. And, I mean, Illinois is going to be ready for that football game.
I was going to ask, just because of, you know, you mentioned the timeline and a lot of seniors this year, and it may be a little bit of an overhaul next year. Can you tell us about some of the talented freshmen on this team, and also just how much better — it was already good, but how much better Lance Leipold's recruiting has gotten over the last couple of years?
Yeah, this class is really good, okay, the class that just came in. And now here's the thing, though. We may not be able to see how talented some of these guys are, okay? I've heard some of them have looked good in fall camp. They just got on campus 2 months ago. But I've heard some of them have looked good in fall camp. But the problem is, guys, you're talking about a team that is returning 85, 90% of their starters. You're talking about a team that's basically going to start a bunch of seniors. So, you know, you may have some guys on the O-line who look good. They're just buried right now because there's so many guys returning. You might have a young receiver who looks good, but Kansas returns their top five receivers. You might have a running back who looks good, but they return their top three running backs. You see where I'm going with this? I mean, there are kids who are in the program that have talent and have ability, but I don't know if some of them are going to get on the 2D just because of what's returning.
Interesting stuff from John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. We're talking KU football. With the new Big 12 and all the new teams that have come in the past couple years, certainly no more balanced schedule. And the schedule, I'm caught up in them because they mean a lot. And there are some ranked teams in the Big 12 going into this season. Utah, Arizona, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Kansas. But on KU's schedule is only one of those, and that's Kansas State. This is a pretty favorable schedule to have a pretty monumental season.
It is. There is no doubt that the schedule gods worked out in their favor on this one. I mean, they dodged some tough games. I mean, when you look up and down the schedule, you know, at West Virginia and at Kansas State, I mean, those are the two games that you circle right now and say, God, if there's any way you could win one of those two or something, I mean, you could seriously be looking down and an 11-1 or a 10-2 type. Now, there's some tricky games on there. You don't know what TCU is going to bring to Lawrence. And, you know, when you go on the road to somewhere like BYU, that's kind of a, you know, that's a tricky place to play. Then you've got the game against Iowa State. You know, I heard the other day from some people inside KU that they get calls and emails, and the people at Arrowhead Stadium, they've been getting them for 3 weeks from Iowa State fans saying, hey, when can we buy tickets? So there's going to be a lot of Iowa State people at that game in Arrowhead. But when you look down the schedule, I think the two games that you sit here and say, I don't know that Kansas will be favored, and that's at West Virginia and at Kansas State, and everything else from there, I mean, there's a good chance they're favored to win all those other games.
Can you tell us there's so many good players on this team. You've talked about it. Is there anyone returning who can find even another level than what they've done in the past? Is there anyone who hasn't quite maybe reached their ceiling yet that we can look for that this year?
Yeah, there's a few, and I've got to start with Jalen Daniels. I mean, this is a guy, you know, not long ago, people were talking about him in the Heisman race, okay? The problem is he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. So when you talk about a guy with a ceiling or someone that hasn't shown what he can do, we want to see what Jalen Daniels can do if he can stay healthy for an entire year, because I think he's a pretty special player. I mean, I've seen a lot of lists that a lot of people have him in the top 10 quarterbacks in the country and definitely among the top quarterbacks in the Big 12. So to me, that's the key, is can he stay healthy? And then if he does, I think, Bob and Jeff, I think that we're going to see what he can do for a whole season, because we haven't seen that yet. Kansas has, I'll tell you, one of the deepest positions they've got on the team. Their defensive tackles, they go about six deep. And last year, they rotated guys and kept them fresh. And that was one of the big things that I think that people haven't talked about from last year's team. Kansas's defense went from 12th in total defense to 4th in the Big 12 last year. That is the reason that they were successful last year. We always know Kansas can score points. We didn't know if they could stop anybody. Last year, they got off the field more. And one of the reasons was, they have some guys who can rotate on the inside. They had five guys who played 150 or more snaps on the interior. A lot of those guys are back, and some of these young kids have looked good in camp. I mean, they're going to go six defensive tackles deep. So, I mean, that is something to watch through the season, because I think they're going to be able to hold up on the defensive line.
Talking to KU football with John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. So I got to ask you about this season, where the home games are going to be played at Arrowhead Stadium, and then the unbelievable project that's going on campus at KU for the new football stadium there, $400 million. I've been around a long time. I'm not sure I ever thought we'd get to this day where Kansas was investing like this in football. I've always thought KU was a sleeping giant. Seems to be waking up. Tell us about playing this season at Arrowhead and then the future of Kansas football in that new facility in Lawrence.
Yeah, you know, the first two games are at Children's Mercy Park. So I think that's going to be a great atmosphere. It's kind of a smaller stadium, a little bit more enclosed. Everybody's right on top of the field. And there's only, what, 18,500 or 19,000 seats that are going to be there. So your season ticket holders are going to take up most of that. And then I've heard there's, you know, going to be a smaller allotment for students to get in. Those first two games will be sold out, but I think it's going to be a great atmosphere, and it's going to be loud just because I think it's going to be a packed stadium in the way that thing's built. Then when you go to Arrowhead, you know, the question is going to be, can you capture more KU fans in Kansas City that maybe didn't get to Lawrence for games, but with the game being in Kansas City, they say, hey, we're going to go over to Arrowhead? Because I tell you this right now, there are KU fans who don't have season tickets to KU football games, but they have season tickets to the Chiefs, okay? So it'll be interesting just to see what they can draw there. And then obviously with the facilities coming in, guys, I mean, it's $450 million right now. And when I'm around there, you know, I'll look up at the stadium, and you can just see the progress coming in. And the other day we were in the indoor for media day. I mean, you know, that indoor facility, it's very nice. They just built that not too long ago. So when you take the renovation they're doing with Anderson Family Football Complex and then what they're doing with the indoor and then what they're doing in the booth, I mean, there's not going to be much left to fix. I mean, everything's going to be looking pretty good.
And I can't let you go without asking you about my personal favorite Kansas player, and that's running back Devin Neal. I love watching him play. I think he's primed to have just an incredible season. I think he's going to go to the NFL and be great. Am I wrong about any of that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's a talented guy. I thought the one thing last year, I've always said I wondered about Devin's top-end speed. But last year, I've been meaning to ask him about this, but he played faster last year. And when he hit some holes and some creases, he got past outside linebackers and safeties and got into open space for some nice runs. So, yeah, he's got everything. I mean, he's strong. And I'll tell you, Bob, one of the things that helps Devin Neal, you know, another guy, he's been banged up here and there the last couple of years because they end up relying on him so much. A healthy Daniel Hyshaw behind him, I think, makes Devin Neal better because he takes some of those bumps and bruises away from him later in the season with some of the carries. So, yeah, hey, Devin Neal, listen, he's got a chance to leave out of Kansas in the record book. So, I mean, when he's all said and done, he could be the leading rusher in KU football history.
All right, we really appreciate it. Lots of information to digest. John, thank you so much. We'll talk to you as the season unfolds.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on.
John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant, our KU football preview. It's only Thursday. Feels like Friday in some ways.
It does.
Tim Fitzgerald may or may not join us. He's got a therapy session, physical therapy session, coming up at 3, so I've given him the option of being on tomorrow. We'll see.
See what he does.
We don't want him to hurry. We don't want to hurry through K-State. I'm very interested in learning about the Wildcats. I feel like these Big 12 football previews have increased my anticipation for the season.
Sure. I wouldn't argue
Not
with
you.
That.
Do you care about the season?
I'm trying to think about whether I'm going to choose to care about college football this year. Now, will
I
watch it?
You've got a daughter up at K-State.
And will I pay attention? Sure, I'll do all that. But will I truly care? And for me, at this stage of my life, caring equals investing in something more than just I like the game. So will I watch all K-State's games? Will I watch all KU's games?
Well, no, I won't do that.
Will I watch?
I'll watch as many as I can.
Will I watch Notre Dame?
I'm not talking. It's about watching good games. I'm not invested in being a fan of a team.
I'm not invested in Alabama, Georgia. You know, I mean, I'm not invested in that. That game, I'll watch it and won't mean anything to me. And then
I'll look at the Saturday schedule. And even now that we play every day, I'll watch the games that interest me, like I always have.
Okay. Well, I just told you how it would work.
I'm not
work
a fan
for
of a team.
Fine. You don't have to be. I've just told you how it works for me. That you don't have to equate that to you. That's the beautiful thing about life.
Well, you're wrong.
No, nobody's wrong.
How in the world could you not want to watch Georgia, Alabama? I don't understand.
Why is that wrong?
Well, it's wrong. It's wrong.
Not really.
As a sports fan, as someone who's on a sports show.
It's not a big college football fan. And I'm not going to be, my fandom is not going to be aided by the fact that Oregon plays Rutgers. And
what about this one? What about K-State Tulane on Saturday, September 7th?
Sure.
You'll watch that ball game?
Probably.
Okay. What about this one? Let me find some.
I'll probably watch KU and K-State. That's probably what I'll do.
So coming up next Thursday night, okay? Next Thursday night's kind of the opening. We have 4 games this Saturday. Florida State at Georgia Tech. Very interesting that they open with a conference game, but I'm not totally into that. So
some conferences do that.
Coming up the first weekend, I'm trying to find the game. Will you watch next Saturday, the 31st, will you watch Clemson at Georgia?
No.
Well, that's just... How do you... I don't know. How do you...
What's in that for me?
Well, that's a great game.
Georgia's going to beat them by 1,000.
Well, that's a good game. That's the 2 ranked teams. Will you watch, given our discussions about Big 12 football, will you watch Penn State in Morgantown to face West Virginia?
No.
Well, you got that on at the same time as Clemson, Georgia. Why couldn't you just switch back and forth and watch those games?
Sounds like not fun. But maybe. I mean, you never know how bored I might get or how comfortable I might get on the couch. I'm not getting up, and there's Penn State,
Well, let me West ask you
Virginia.
This. Let me ask you this. Later in the day, 2:30 kickoff, will you watch Colorado State at Texas? Texas' first game as a member of the SEC.
I'd rather throw my television in the backyard.
Well, I don't get it.
Than watch that game.
That, in some ways, makes me sad.
Are you going to watch that?
What about this one? Later that evening on ABC, will you watch Notre Dame in College Station to face Texas A&M?
Maybe.
Okay. There you go.
Told you I'm a little of a Notre Dame guy. I've always said that, but I've never really committed to it.
There you go.
So maybe I'll commit to it this year.
Now we're
I love the state of Indiana.
Now we're getting somewhere. And how about this one? on Sunday. Next Sunday, September 1, USC at LSU. Will you watch that?
No, I will not.
Well, I don't understand it.
That is why.
Don't you want to see USC as a Big Ten?
No.
Don't you want to see how they'll do on the road?
Not really.
At LSU?
I'll look at the score, and that'll be plenty for me. Is that good?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't get it.
Are you going to watch that game?
Sure. Depends on what else is happening.
Pretty high-pitched. Sure.
Sure, I'll watch
it. That's a no. It sounded like a no to me.
The way I am with college football is I'll watch bits and pieces of several games. I usually don't sit down. It's unusual that I'll sit down and watch a full college football game. Does that make sense?
Sure. But I might.
I'll probably watch much more K-State because I like it that they have Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards.
I think everybody likes that.
I like our locals. So that's more meaningful to me than the KU combo of Devin Neal and their quarterback.
I'm headed to Manhattan tomorrow.
Visiting the youngster? You miss her that badly?
No, we're just going to go visit now that
she's...
Well,
that's nice of you.
Now that she's fully in her dorm.
Where are you going?
Started classes after the show.
How do you stay on the weekend? Or
We'll come back Saturday evening probably.
Going out to eat?
I imagine something like that will occur.
Well, that's nice.
Just hang out.
Where do you go in Manhattan?
Well, we went to Hoo Ha last week. I don't know where we'd go if we had like a full day and time to explore. We haven't really had that chance yet. So maybe on Saturday we'll figure something out.
Tim Fitzgerald will not be appearing today. He used an expletive and then he said, I forgot. Too busy. Let's do tomorrow. So we'll set it up with Tim Fitzgerald for tomorrow. We'll also be talking Arizona football with Jason Shear from the Tucson Citizen.
And no Duda.
How do you know?
Well, you said he's not on this week.
He's penciled in to do the three-man tomorrow.
Really? I thought he'd never appear on the show again.
Duda has a meaningful life, apparently.
I guess. It's interesting, though. I mean, it's hard to... I mean, I get it. He wants to be involved in his kids' lives. That's fantastic.
Well, I mean, the kid, one's a senior, one's a freshman. These are fleeting times. I understand it.
But I feel like...
I didn't do a radio show when you were... Did I?
I don't know. You started it my freshman year of college. But there were no radio shows to do.
I did one with Steve Dennis for a little bit.
I don't think I was in high school then.
Yeah, plus, I mean,
I really didn't care.
But I understand why he wants to hang out with his kids.
Sure. But just show up and draft tonight. Is he gonna?
He'll be there when he gets there, is the latest I've heard.
I'm not drafting for him. My teammate Scotty is not drafting for him.
No, Scotty will.
No, he won't.
Yeah, he will, because I'll ask him to.
Well, Judah's going to end up with not a very good team then.
No, Scott will work at it.
No, he won't.
Scott has unbelievable integrity.
You know how much, you know how bad of a look that is to everybody there to have somebody not there and somebody else in the league drafting for that person?
Yeah, but
that's embarrassing.
Scott will be.
No, Scott's on my team.
Scott will be so good about it.
Someone.
And here's all I'll say, Scott. Jason's run a little late. Do you mind making a couple picks for him? And he'll say, sure.
Someone bring a friend.
I'm happy to do that.
Someone bring a friend tonight. Scotty's on my team.
Nah, Scott will handle it.
We're not. No, then Duda doesn't get to ever talk about his team because he didn't draft it.
Of course he does.
No. It's a product.
When did you become such a you-know-what?
That's a product of our expertise.
Do you have any idea when that happened?
When what happened?
When you became a, you know.
When I didn't put up with shenanigans.
What happened?
That's been forever.
Be a nice guy.
I'm a nice guy all the time.
It's not that hard.
I'm always nice. I spend my whole day being nice.
No, you're not. You're not nice when your team's not doing well.
Well, they should do better then.
What's the score now? 9, 10?
Who cares?
20?
I haven't checked. 6-0. I'm sure Judge hit another homer.
Well, I hope he did. It's fun watching him. 6-0 in favor of the Yankees. So you got that.
Sack fly by Ben Rice.
All right, we'll come back with one more hour. We promise you Tim Fitzgerald tomorrow as we preview Kansas State. It'll be our last preview. We'll try to get him for 2:45 tomorrow. We look forward to it. We'll be back. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.